This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Schizophrenia and Psychosis Action Alliance, shattering barriers to treatment, survival, and recovery. People with schizophrenia can recover and thrive. More at wecanthrive.org. This message comes from NPR sponsor, CFP, Certified Financial Planner Professionals, committed to acting in their clients' best interests. Learn more at letsmakeaplan.org.
Heyo, Maddie here. Hope you're all doing all right out there. While we're working on some new stuff, here's an episode from the early days of the show that you might have missed. I think you'll like it. New episode tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe to or follow our show on your podcast app of choice. And keep washing those paws. Okay, on to the show. You're listening to Shortwave from NPR. Maddie Sofia here with our very own shortwave reporter and sometimes host, Emily Kwong. Greetings, Emily Kwong.
Hi, Maddie.
Hi, Emily.
Hello.
Why are we whispering?
Because today's episode is about ASMR.
I'm going to get out of whisper mode for a moment.
Great. It was creeping me out.
And explain, me too, with a quick story from a scientist in the UK named Julia.
My name is Julia Puerio. I haven't thought about my age. I'm 31.
Julia's a lecturer at the University of Essex, and she still remembers vividly being a little girl, and occasionally she would get this very distinct feeling in certain situations.
Really early examples would be things like watching my mum brush her hair or put her makeup on, getting my feet a bit measured for school shoes, a teacher explaining something to me really carefully.
And Maddie, in situations like these, she would enter this trance-like state of relaxation.
The feeling itself is a warm, tingling sensation that starts at the crown of the head, almost like bubbles under the scalp.
That's not where bubbles go.
And can spread throughout the rest of the body, so down the spine and through the limbs.
That brain tingling feeling, experienced by some people, is called ASMR, Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, a psychophysiological experience reliably triggered by certain things like whispering, personal attention, soft voices, a whole host of things.
So today on the show, ASMR researcher Julia Puerio helps us explain the science behind this sensation.
And we ask, does this have anything to do with the slime trend oozing across the internet?
I don't like it.
It's coming for you, Maddie Sofia.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Betterment, the automated investing and savings app. CEO Sarah Levy shares how cash can be part of a balanced savings strategy for investors.
Oftentimes people think of their cash as the money they're using, but when there's a high rate environment, your cash can also be a form of savings. So savings can sit in your cash account and savings can sit in an investing account. And on average and over time, investments go up, but in a high interest rate environment, you can get a more predictable return in a high yield savings account. And so investors can choose both strategies, an investment strategy as well as a cash strategy, to both protect your principal because cash doesn't go down the way markets can, but also to earn a high yield.
Learn more about high yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk, performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank.
Okay, so, Maddie.
Yes, ma'am.
Our tour guide through the world of ASMR is Julia Puerio. We're going to hear from her in a bit. She is a real-life person who experiences ASMR.
A real live one.
And researches it. ASMR is not exactly a big field of scientific study, and it's only been a thing in public discussion for about a dozen years. That's about when, in 2007, people began to find each other and build communities online, calling this feeling they had ASMR.
So these people just, like, get really zenned out by whispering?
There's a whole host of different triggers for different people. It could be whispering, soft tapping, rustling of paper. There seems to be a visual component to all of this, but not always. Things like slow movements, delicate hand gestures can induce an ASMR experience. One of the most popular ASM artists on YouTube, that's what the people who make these ASMR videos online are called, is ASMR Darling.
Here she is quietly touching a little house made of Legos with her fingernails.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Here she is unwrapping a Starburst.
Yeah, that is a Starburst and being unwrapped.
My personal favorite, here she is counting down slowly in a whisper from 1,000.
1,999. 998.
These videos, they get millions of views on YouTube.
996.
When you and I hear this, we hear it. But for some people, they feel it. And that's what happens for Julia and those who experience ASMR.
It's a little bit like music-induced chills or awe-inspired chills. So sometimes, you know, if you hear an amazing speech, like a Martin Luther King speech, you might get those kind of those goosebumps, those shivers up your spine, which is a really kind of complex, emotional, aesthetic response that some people experience and other people don't.
So this is a young woman doing this, and you're like looking at her face and she's really close to the camera.
Mm.
It seems very intimate. Is this a sex thing, Kwong?
To be honest, that was my initial thought too. I don't experience ASMR, but Julia said, based on studies she's done monitoring those who do, ASMR is not the feeling of getting turned on.
In our research, we, of course, measured people's heart rates, and on average, heart rate decreased when people watched ASMR videos, which is exactly the opposite of what you would expect if it was somehow a sexually arousing feeling.
I don't know why, but that makes me feel better about it.
Hmm. It is. It's something else.
So if it's not like this sexual feeling, what is it? Like in the brains of people who experience it, what's going on?
We don't actually know what is happening truly in the brains of people who experience it, nor how many people experience it at all. The important thing to know here is there isn't a ton of scientific research on this topic. There is one study, though, that really interested Julia. It's a 2016 paper by Canadian researchers that looked at the brains of people who experience ASMR when their brains were in a restful state, basically not doing anything. And they looked at this specific network within the brain.
Something called the default mode network, which is associated with things like daydreaming and mind wandering and also self-referential thought. And what they found was that essentially that they thought that the brain network activity at rest shows that they're less able to inhibit sensory and emotional responses.
Basically, they were less able to separate the link between what their senses are picking up and what they're feeling in their bodies. Sensory emotional experiences weren't as suppressed.
Okay, that makes sense to me. They experience their senses in a different way than, like, I experience my senses or something like that.
Kind of. Like I said, this is one of many early studies, and what's also interesting is how people are experimenting with new ASMR triggers on the internet. Remember the oozing I mentioned earlier?
Yeah, I remember that. It was unfortunate.
I have with me in my hand something that produces sound, and I'm going to introduce it to you.
Ugh. You did that with a nice little bit of flair.
So what I'm holding in my hand is slime.
Oh, my God.
Phloem, technically. Slime with little foam pieces inside. Do you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Well, in the last few years, there's been a boom in videos of people manipulating slime. Yeah. It'll have color or glitter or charms mixed into it. People have gotten very creative with their slimes. It's fun to play with, and it also has a sound. Not doing it for you?
No, it's not. It's doing something different.
In fact, you are shrinking in your seat, trying to get as far away from me as possible.
I don't like it.
Do you want to play with it?
I mean, why did you give me
this? You.
Why did you give me the fart one?
I brought this in because if you search hashtag ASMR on Instagram right now, guess how many posts come up? 7.6 million.
Oh my God.
And the vast, not vast majority, but a number of them are videos of people doing exactly what you're doing right now. Just manipulating slime and making these satisfying squishy sounds.
Are there groups of people who experience anti-ASMR? Like, yeah. Instead of feeling soothed right now, I feel very unsettled and my belly hurts.
That would be called misophonia. Different episode. We wanted to ask our scientist, Julia, if slime is a bona fide trigger for ASMR.
I mean, I guess there are parallels. Probably people who experience ASMR would experience ASMR when they're watching things like slime videos. However, one thing I would say is that actually there's been quite a lot of interlocking between different kind of trends. So ASMR and slime and things like mukbang have all kind of...
Side note, mukbang started in South Korea. It broadcasts people eating food while talking to their audience with high quality microphones.
What a nightmare.
The internet.
Slime and things like mukbang have almost piggybacked onto the ASMR trend. So,
sure, what under the sometimes category on the internet of oddly satisfying?
Yeah, or the hashtag ASMR, because I suspect it is piggybacking on ASMR as a kind of term to get people to watch videos.
So when you see a video of someone, let's say, cutting soap or icing a cookie, someone playing with really pretty slime, that may be oddly satisfying, but if you don't have the brain tingles, it's not ASMR that's talking to you. At the same time, Julia said that the more ASMR is linked to things like slime videos, that could change what it means for people on the internet. She's focused, though, on the world of science and has a lot of outstanding questions. Why do some people experience it and others don't? Why do some people experience it at a higher intensity than others? And also, and this is really interesting to me, what is the effect of ASMR on sleep?
So we know anecdotally that people who experience ASMR use these videos on YouTube to help them go to sleep. And I guess a question is, well, why does ASMR help you go to sleep? And another important question with regards to sleep is, you know, does it not only help you get to sleep, but does it also improve the quality of your sleep?
So, for some people, this might be like the modern day version of counting sheep.
Who says counting sheep?
1,999. Thanks again to Julia Poerio in the UK. And special thanks to Emmanuel Johnson and NPR's Vanessa Castillo for their help on this episode.
And thank you, Emily Kwong, reporter for Shortwave here at NPR's Science Desk, and sometimes slimy host of Shortwave.
You're welcome.
I'm Maddie Sofia. Thanks for listening to Shortwave from NPR.
Face masks have become the new normal as we continue to grapple with the ongoing pandemic. But when did we start wearing masks for our health and safety?
This week on Throughline, the origins of the N95 mask and how it became the life-saving tool it is today.
Throughline from NPR, the podcast where we go back in time
to understand the present.
Support for NPR and the following message come from the American Cancer Society. Dr. Alpa Patel leads a team that researches cancer risk factors, and she shares how a new study aims to impact an underrepresented community.
My greatest hope for the Voices of Black Women study is that it will help us understand and identify culturally tailored ways to change and really eliminate the unacceptable disparities for future generations of Black women as it relates to cancer.
To learn more, go to voices.cancer.org.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Online. Is your child asking questions on their homework you don't feel equipped to answer? IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And NPR listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
When voters talk during an election season, we listen. We ask questions, we follow up, and we bring you along to hear what we learned. Get closer to the issues, the people, and your vote at the NPR Elections Hub. Visit npr.org/elections.